Welcome to Managing Uncertainty, a podcast series from the experts at BrightPath discussing global risk, business continuity, and crisis management. Will you be ready to lead your organization through its critical moment?
Jen, what are we doing here today?
Well, first of all, welcome back to Managing Uncertainty podcast.
Had a little bit of a break.
Yep, a little bit.
We've been a little busy with some real work.
We have. But because of that, we have sort of come up with some ideas of what we want to talk about based on client needs as we've been talking through this with several of our clients. So what we decided to kind of start talking about a little bit more and maybe have a whole series on is communication.
So we're going to talk about a couple different communication topics. I think we're going to start today with more of, I think, an overview of communication. And then we're going to get into talking about communication and awareness planning. One of the bigger challenges that we see that we've helped a number of clients with over the last several years. Mm-hmm. And part two, Jen.
Yeah, part two, we're going to talk a little bit about crisis communication. So how to communicate in the event of a crisis, during, before, after, that type of thing.
And then in part three, we're going to talk about the big launch. At different points in your business cycle, you'll have the opportunity to launch a new product, a new service, a new campaign, maybe a new, it can be a new vision mission statement, a new EOC,
a new team.
Yeah. And so we're going to talk about how to prepare for that launch and how to use some of the communication tools that we're going to talk about in part one and two to really go out and launch that series, to handle that launch.
Right. So I think some of the ideas around this really stemmed from just talking to some of our clients that we've been working with and understanding their needs and kind of talking through, hey, we have all of these great programs. We do all of these great things, but no one knows about it.
Yeah, it happens a lot where I think we have seen numerous times, and I saw even early in my career in security that companies would or teams would, you know, be doing a lot of really great things and be doing a lot of great work. And absolutely nobody knew that those things were going on.
Yeah. And in this world, it's all the more important that people understand and know who you are and what you're doing, because we work in crisis management and workplace violence prevention. And we need people to know who to call when things happen.
And even beyond that, there's a lot of really great work being done by security and business continuity and intelligence and crisis management and EOC, yes. SOC, GSOCs and stuff around the world. We've seen it in our clients and we see it in places that we go and benchmark. And honestly, most business leaders in those organizations usually don't even know that these things are happening.
Yeah.
And so what we really want to start off by talking about is, how do you kind of build this communication and awareness strategy, and why is that important, and how does that help you get visibility for the things that you're working on? Mm-hmm. Our experience has been that the more you communicate and kind of pull back the curtain a little bit for teams that usually don't like to do that, mm-hmm. it gives that insight into the really cool work that teams are doing.
That's right.
Really helps them gain additional resources and influence and credibility within the organization over the long haul.
Yeah. And I guess why is communication so difficult? Why is it so difficult to outline some of these initiatives?
Well, I think one of the challenges is you think about most of the folks that we've worked with throughout our careers, that they may be very good at relationships and that one-on-one kind of building things, but thinking like a communicator is just not something that most people do.
Yeah.
And it requires you to really, you know, I think if you've not learned this throughout your career, I think most of us expect that other people are going to think about and consume information in the same way that we do. They're going to learn in the same way that we do. And
is
we
that
know
not the case?
It is not the case. and we know that folks think about things in a whole different course of ways.
That's true. They do.
And for some folks, comprehension is not necessarily a strong point. I think when we talk about communicating that, I think academically, that's just how I'm wired. But when I write, I have to realize that I'm writing for about an eighth grade comprehension level, mm-hmm. because that's the average in the United States.
Well, and I think of some of the teams that we've been on or teams that we've worked with in this sort of area, and many of them are very tactical in what they're doing. So mm-hmm. they're getting the job done at the time of need. So, for instance, crisis management, we all are good at getting what needs to be done right now.
We're good at collaborating.
We're good at collaborating to get that done. But especially in the after effect, we just move on to the next thing. And I think that's a lot of times the case. We just continue to move on to the next thing as our worlds are busier and busier.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not always good at going back and making sure that everyone understands exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it and things like that. So
right.
I definitely think that can be a struggle. And then another thing is understanding what audiences to communicate to and how.
And this is a tough one because I think most of us think about the individuals that we interact with on a regular basis and we say, well, that's the audience. But, you know, let's put this in the context of a real example. You're at a company and you're the head of crisis management and you're rolling out a new international travel safety program.
For instance.
Right. So you're working with iJet or ISOS or a Control Risks or, you know, one of the other providers that are out there, and you're rolling this program out. So who are your audiences in this case? You've already gotten the business case approved. You already got the money. So we're past that point. You're going to start to roll this out. Who are the audiences that you're aiming for?
Well, who's going to be using it?
Ah, so we start with the users.
Yeah.
So those are people that are going to travel, probably people that travel, U.S. and internationally from there. And of course, if you've got people based elsewhere, coming to the U.S. is foreign travel to them. So probably all of your travelers.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're done, right?
Well, I think, too, that could be everyone, because I think we have organizations that roll these programs out as a benefit to their whole company.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding what is in there? What benefit are they actually getting? So that user is much bigger than just, I think, the leaders that travel. You know, it could be the general population of employees as well, that this could be a benefit to.
Mm-hmm.
And we want them to use it because this is good stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. So you got the users, which are kind of the whole population could be.
Then there's going to be at a minimum, the managers of the users, and that's going to be different communication.
Mm-hmm.
The communication to individual contributors and communication to leaders of people and the leaders of people are different.
Yes.
There are different expectations here. For example, it might be a requirement that rolls out with this program that they have to do something different than they did before. It's one thing to dictate that as a policy or as a procedure or whatever your company calls it. But it's another thing to send that expectation as an expectation to the leaders of people and to their leadership structure.
And that's for maybe rolling out a program. But additionally, if there is processes and procedures that you're introducing that may be different, there may be some additional requirements for a leader to make sure that their people are doing. So I think of like rolling out a new training. So let's say you're going to roll out a active shooter training. Well, that training would be everyone would get that training. So everyone needs to understand the importance of doing that training. But then leaders may have a requirement to make sure their people are taking
have done the training.
And that they're talking about it, right?
Right. There might be follow-up questions.
There may be
speaking points for an event or a huddle or a meeting, staff meeting.
Yeah. There may be different type of communication that goes out to your HR partners, for instance, as to the individuals that are pushing this information down.
Mm-hmm. There might be different communication to your senior executives.
Mm-hmm.
For example, they probably were the ones that approved your new international travel security program and vendor. So it could be the executive follow-up that next week, and of course this needs to go out in advance of the launch, but next week we're launching our new travel safety and security program, as you might recall from our briefing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, again, based on your company's culture, short, sweet, to the point. Or as my old boss said, be good, be brief, be gone.
Yeah. There may be some kind of communication to the public that may need to go out outside of the organization, which is going to have a whole other level of detail.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on what it is that you are sharing, it may be important to also review that information with the public or even the shareholders.
So I think that covers a lot of the audience information. We always, you know, one way to think about this is to think about who's using it, who leads those people, who are the other stakeholders that have a stake in the game. Jen brings up a really important point that looking at what you might need to communicate to the public or to your partners or key influencers, outside stakeholders, is very important, particularly on things that will be public facing, to give them a heads up so they can continue to influence others on your behalf. So what does an awareness program start to look like, Jen?
So as far as an awareness program, depending on what it is that you're trying to spread awareness for. So for instance, in my previous life, I did a lot of work around workplace violence prevention, and we generally would launch an awareness program every year. And for us, the first year, I think we did a kind of an overview of our team and what we did. So we did a lot of things around that. So it was more general awareness. And then years after that, we would pick a topic, and then it would still be general awareness, but we would do additional information on certain areas that we wanted to highlight. So that's where I would start. I would start with what it is that you want to communicate as, on a broad scale, and then I would create a calendar around how you want to launch that information and in a timeline.
And a lot of your editorial calendar will come back to what are the vehicles you have available to use in terms of communication tools that will help you get to where you want to be. Common things that we've used in the past are like a corporate intranet. You know, sometimes the communications team or another internal team manages the main intranet site. Maybe you only get certain article slots there. Maybe at the same time, you might have your own site within that where you can post more frequent updates. We would encourage you to think about a cadence that makes sense for the way your company communicates and works. We have clients that post two or three things a week. We have clients that post something every week, a weekly article, or they post on a less frequent schedule. It just really depends on what your company's culture is like and what tools are available to you. Digital content's a big one. Lots of companies are now using digital display boards, like in the cafeteria, in the hallway, in the atrium, at the entrance. Mm-hmm. So find out if you have such a thing, find out who owns it, find out how you can get your messaging in there. Posters are kind of old school, but still done a lot. Posters and column wraps and table talkers, the little things you would put on a table, like in the cafe or restaurant or in a casual seating area.
Postcards, things that can be dropped off at individual desks.
All kinds of desk drops, wallet cards.
Yes.
Particularly if you're rolling out some kind of communication strategy, a call center, a new GSOC. We put stickers on phones for emergency calls. We've put whiteboard clings on whiteboards about InfoSec, about similar topics, security topics. What are some other things we've done?
I'd say blog posts are huge.
Right. Your internal articles or blog posts, depending upon how your company talks about those.
Yeah, because that allows you to get a little bit more information and insight and background on what it is you're talking about. Other than just a poster or a desktop.
Right. We've had, it's also important to think about what, particularly if you're doing a launch, like what might be the collateral that goes along with your awareness strategy. Hot things right now are webcam covers that, you know, stick on your laptop and slide over to cover the camera, and then you can slide it back to uncover the camera. Jen is playing with hers right now as we're recording this on her laptop. But that's a hot one. Cell phone cases and cell phone
stands. You see a lot of this stuff when you go to different trade shows, pens and things like that as well, you know. But any kind of little gadgets like that that you're able to provide to your employees, I know people really like those. So those are great because you can brand them with whatever it is that you're wanting to. So if you're if you're trying to get awareness out on your new team, for instance, that's a great way to brand it and to kind of get it in front of people. And people love that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So as you build your editorial calendar, I think Jen's really talked about it. You can focus on some themes. Think about a cadence and the vehicles that make sense for you on what you're doing. I would assign dates to draft, dates to review, approval drop dead dates, dates you're going to post, who's going to do it. Again, you might find some internal help with your communications team, maybe able to at least consult with you on some ideas. Our view is that as much as possible, your team should write the articles. It's more authentic. It's in your own team's voice. You know the subject matter better than anyone. But again, this will just depend on how your organization approaches communication and what that process looks like.
It allows people to get to know your team too. Whoever's actually doing the talking, it really helps, I think, to get the word out as to who you are and what you do if your team's voice is the one doing it.
Mm-hmm. Can't emphasize enough that there has to be some thought put into making this work. You can't just build an editorial calendar of a bunch of random topics without some thought to the themes that make it stick together and what you're trying to accomplish through all of this. we would encourage you to think about as you start creating content, how do you tie it to that bigger theme? How do you tie it to the identity of your organization or your program? Mm-hmm. There are probably internal branding guidelines you're going to have to follow because you want it to look like your company's other material, right?
Right.
Even if you go to an outside designer, you want to stick to what your company has given you in terms of guidelines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you might want to go back to, for instance, your company policies and things like that. So as you're highlighting maybe different things that your team is doing, you can always highlight back to your company policy or certain training that's already out there that, that people can also review. So kind of bringing them back to the company items that, that already exist.
Mm-hmm. So to recap our thoughts on communication awareness programs, think about your audiences. Consider your themes, build an editorial calendar, understand the different vehicles that are available to you. If you have an internal PR, social media, communications team, work with them to understand branding guidance and expectations and what their involvement needs to be in the process. And if we can help you, we've built a number of communication awareness programs for companies. Reach out to us at contact@brightpath.com or give us a call at 612-235-6435.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Managing Uncertainty, produced by the experts at BrightPath. To receive notifications of new episodes, join our newsletter at brightpath.com or subscribe to your favorite podcast player, such as iTunes or Google Play. Learn more about the services and trusted advice from BrightPath by visiting brightpath.com. That's BrightPath.com.